Hey, John.
Morning, mate. You all right?
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm just out in the street because my house is filled with socially distant plumbers at the moment. So rather than catching the lurgy.
And where's your where are you? What part of London are you, John?
I'm in Clapton.
Isn't it full of artists now, Clapton?
It is filled with artists and slightly annoying young people who house share. But yes, it is filled with that.
Dave, we could have had our first COVID catch.
We could,
live,
yeah.
On this podcast,
we could listen to someone getting it live on air. Yeah. So, Parv warned me you might be a heavy bleeping, swearing. I think three words in, you crack that.
Yes, probably. I'm sorry, it's terrible. I was brought up really badly by my grandmother.
Were you?
Foul mouth on her, she had.
We'll tough it out. So, John, did you start at Howe Henry? Was that your first place?
It was my second, actually. I started at WCRS for 4 years.
Oh, okay.
Did 4 years at WCRS, but I think that what turned me into the annoying person I am now is probably the 10 years I spent at Howe Henry, yes.
And I'm getting distracted now. Parv's going to drag me back. But who was your boss at WCRS? Was that Alan Tilby or was that after?
No, it was after that. It was Larry and Rune were my bosses at WCRS. So they hired us off of placement.
Yeah, I'm trying to do a podcast with Steve and Axe together because they had such a massive impact on the business. And a lot of people now, you know, a few years in, probably never heard of them, you know, which is a shame.
Terrible shame, yes. No, I think of... Stephen acts as my ad dads, to be honest with you. They're incredible people. Steve Henry's probably the most restless, anarchic, nihilistic bloke I've ever met. He works in the communications business. Incredible man. Yeah, amazing bloke. Yeah. Terrible, filthy mind. Very, very funny and just wants to blow shit up all the time.
So what are you doing at the moment, John? Are you busy? We're checking in with most people at the moment trying to operate Zoom and figure out how to go forward with this thing.
Yes, and as you can tell, I'm particularly shit at it. I do find Zoom meetings so ass-sweatingly awkward that I do struggle with them slightly. Although I think, like with all these things, it's calamity forces change, doesn't it? So to force us to work in a slightly different way, I don't think it's a bad thing. So I'm keeping busy, yes, and struggling with the technology.
Okay. Do you think the other side of this, you would try and change the way you work a bit, more time at home, a bit of a different balance or anything, you know?
I don't think it's as simple as time at home, but I do think it's something more profound than that, which is not being tied to a particular location. And I do find that really interesting. I mean, it's part of my DNA, like I said, sort of growing up at HXEL, even if I didn't start there, was that we weren't expected to be, there was no sort of pressure put on presenteeism. So, I do think it will change things. I do think it will change things for better, but I'm not sure how much of that is work-life balance. I've always found myself thinking more when I'm not at the office and at home than I do when I'm in it. So I'm not sure that, you know, as creative people, we ever stop our minds churning around trying to come up with new shit.
Yeah, I think because a lot of it feels to me anyway with these big open plan offices now, whereas it feels like it feels like you're on show, really. It's not... You know, you've got to look like you're part of the gang and look busy rather than actually a space to try and solve something or improve something or think about something or whatever. But a lot of the open plan offices don't function very well to me. We haven't come across many people who are anti-office. I mean, I'm obviously pro-office because I'm the office generation. So we were talking with someone the other day, I can't remember who it was, I think it might be Steve Paskin, that weirdly, although on the one hand you're stuck in a box and you're separated, people seem to have more interaction because people would come in, drift in, look at your wall, what you've got, what you've done, show your stuff. Yeah. Whereas when you're all sitting there with your headphones on, it seems to exclude that sort of thing, really. But
yeah, no, for sure, because you have to sort of signal the fact that you're not to be disturbed rather than there are more obvious ones about. I think that's the biggest problem, to be honest with you, it's the interruptions. Like, do you think the principles of think, you know, change for change's sake and thinking differently for different sake is a good thing? It's how you move forward.
Are you drinking more or less at the moment?
Less. I put myself on a bit of a sort of forced thing of not drinking at any time other than weekends. I do crave a really nice glass of wine when the sun's out. It's fucking hard and I'm getting really bored of Diet Coke.
What other stuff would you recommend that people may not have seen, they may not have discovered? It can be from any time period, but just while they're sort of at home bored.
Dude, I mean, I think we've finished pretty much Netflix. I suppose the things I'd recommend are the things that most people probably talk about anyway. So Sex Education was recommended. What else have I seen recently that's good? I've seen everything. It's really hard to pluck one out of the air, to be honest with you.
What about an old overlooked film that you might... reintroduce people with?
Old overlooked film. Oh, I don't know if you've seen Midnight Special. That's a very good film. But we went through a whole series of watching films that would be appropriate for lockdown, if that makes. Did you see? Oh, did you catch
really?
The platform?
Contagion and things.
Yeah, like watch them all. Even started to watch The Road, but that became so bleak we had to give up on that one. It was just too on the nose.
Yeah, you've gone very grim.
It was really horrible.
When was the last time you wore trousers that didn't have an elasticated waist?
I actually don't like elasticated waisted trousers.
Really?
I've got like a pile of jogging trousers that I feel really sort of hot in. My legs get horribly hot. My legs and biffins get really hot in a pair of joggers. So I have a tendency to wear a looser jean, or as I'm now, a pair of inappropriately young shorts.
Are you a mask wearer when you go out?
Yes. Very much so. Yeah. The only thing that annoys me is not being able to smoke through it. And I'm imagining if I were to cut a hole for a ciggy, then it'd be a bit of a waste of the whole mask idea. But yes, I do wear a mask.
And gloves as well?
No, not gloves. I think I subscribe to the full sense of security thing about gloves.
So John, in the next pandemic, if you name one thing that you're going to hoard that you forgot to this time.
Good question. I certainly won't bother hoarding pasta, because I did buy two packets in a sort of slightly half-assed attempt to join in with the panic, and I haven't used them, so I can't fucking bear pasta. So I definitely won't bother hoarding that. Well, if I haven't given up cigarettes by then I'm imagining that I'll go and buy 10,000 cartons of delicious Silk Cut 100.
Are you one of those doorstep people on a Thursday who's clapping and banging pans?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, although I have a sympathy with the, it sort of promotes the feeling of, oh, okay, we're all in this together and we're doing something about it, whilst we're not actually.
Whilst we're not, yeah.
So, John, no. If I give you the choice of one person taking care of the pandemic, either Dominic Cummings or Donald Trump, who are you going to choose?
I would choose Cummings over Trump, I'm afraid.
So, John, have you learnt to bake anything? Have you done any sourdough while you've been off?
Like, fuck, have we? We've done none of that. I mean, part of the reason being that lockdown happened just as our kitchen extension was being finished off. So we haven't had a kitchen now for the last 4 or 5 months. So trying to bake a hideous middle-class sourdough in a microwave combination off an oven that actually sits in our living room would be a really grim thing to do. But two, also, it makes me feel sad, thought of doing such a thing when there's telly to watch.
So, John, what's the thing that you're looking most forward to after all the restrictions have been lifted?
People. Really hard, this, not seeing people. For all my bullshitty talk about not liking offices, it's fucking hard not seeing people.
Does that surprise you that you've missed people?
Yes, I'm quite a misanthrope, to be honest with you. I'm not a fan of human beings. Can't help it. But there are some human beings that I love dearly, and not being able to see them is really hard.
So have you noticed it in Clapham, apart from the trucks, have you noticed any environmental changes? More birds, animals, fresher air, any of those kind of positive signs?
It's a little bit too urban here for that, to be honest with you. There's a lot of cats in the street.
More
but
cats.
I haven't noticed a sort of, you know, Disney-esque.
Have you not seen any raccoons running around or anything?
No, haven't been butterflies doing my hair in the morning for me, any of that stuff. So no, I haven't. I won't lie. It's not really a sort of the deer's creeping back into the urban sprawl style thing where I live. Yeah. So no, I haven't. But when I've heard other people say they have, it sounds wonderful. But no, not here.
So, John, have you seen an ad, either good or bad?
I suppose I'd have a couple of ill-informed observations about that. I think when it all started, the Facebook piece from Droga, I found really moving and beautifully put together. And that sort of wonderful mix of found footage and shot stuff. And much as I had an instinctive recoil from adverts with poems on it, such a beautifully performed and written piece that I'm assuming was found rather than written for the ad, I thought it was an excellent piece. But then, and totally understand why, there's that sort of slew of mini manifestos read by people in different places around Britain behind their computer screens that I just found are quite exhausting after a little while. Just because, you know, I think advertising is there to inspire and make you project forward as much as reflect where you are right now. It just felt a little bit too much reflection and not enough looking forward. So I became quite tired quite quickly of that, which means that when the McCann's lovely Just Eat Snoop piece came out, it just felt like such a brilliant pop of colour and energy and fun after so much sort of worthiness. For me, that really sung out, like beautifully sung out. I thought it was a great piece of work.
Do you think this period will lead to slightly different work? Because everybody feels a little bit more human. People talk about missing people more. There's a lot more...
Yeah.
People are a bit more touchy-feely than they were 4 months ago.
I really hope not. I really, really hope not. I think we do a lot of touchy-feely shit. It's not like we don't, is it? We do an awful lot of that stuff. And I think we predicate a lot of our awards-worthy work based on purpose and doing good in the world. And that's fabulous.
Yeah.
But there's a bit of a preponderance of, you know, I'm just hoping we come out of it wanting to come out swinging rather than, you know, being any more in our strange artificial advertising world of trying to pretend that big brands are just like you and me when they're not. I'd rather go back to the times when things were a bit more colourful and fun. So I really hope not. My human being sensibility is wanting to be a more human industry and to take care of its people more and to also understand that, you know, creativity lies in the hearts of everybody who works in this industry and to try and bring that out of them. But I think to sort of force on the clothes of, you know, the well-worn clothing of pretend humanity and sincerity and to make that an even bigger tool in our box fills me with a little bit of despair, to be honest with you, just because I'm kind of tired. I remember when 9/11 happened, there was a real rejection against sort of anything negative in comedy.
Yeah.
So everything became a little bit sort of lighter. Because I remember it, God, I sound like one of those horrible people who go, I remember when. And I trust me, I don't think advertising was better back then. I think it's better now. But I do remember at Hal Henry, there was the old adage that slapstick's really funny from 10 feet away and really painful when you get up close.
Yeah.
But it would often force itself to get really close because that's what made it an uncomfortable, memorable view, if you like.
Yeah.
After 9/11, there was a sort of real rejection of anything like that that would be seen as cynical or argumentative or provocative. And so everything went a little bit soft for a wee while because there was an oversteer to something of such cataclysmic fucking horror that you kind of wanted the world to feel like an immense place. And I totally get it, but it does stifle creativity a little bit when you're trying to tread so lightly. And my fear is that if we come out of this trying to sort of create work that's all cuddly and lovely and warm and we're all in this together, it will just feel at best superficial and at worst horribly manipulative.
That's great. Cheers, John.
Okay, my friend.
Brilliant. Thanks for your
time. Lovely to speak to you both. Take care, bud.
All the best.
Much love. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Cheers, John.